Which way are you stepping, mate? Which way are you stepping?
What are you doing?
Do you know what? I'm starting to feel a little bit bad about breaking the window.
You've got to stop breaking into the radio station. It's not a radio station anymore.
They do keep fixing the window, though, so...
It's like that argument, isn't it? You know, if a tree falls in the water, there's nobody there, you know...
If a radio station isn't
If a radio there, isn't really there...
Can you still
Should we
show?
Start a recording in it?
let's think on that. Hello, welcome...
Hey, I'm doing it! No, that's gone. This is just a podcast
This is
now.
Just a podcast
No,
now.
It's not just a podcast. This is... It's more than what it was before.
It's come back to what it was.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Welcome, everybody. This is Left of Left Field. I'm Mark Charnock.
I'm Paul Coates.
And this...
This is a not song by... Oh, this is Not in the Mood for Revolution by the Champagne Socialists.
Great band. Pretentious, that. Utterly pretentious.
Deliberately so.
Yeah, I don't like them. I never liked them since they released that 12-inch single a few years ago, only on vinyl.
Yeah, Corbyn's hat.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. A champagne socialist. What a gig it was, though. Right, next. Okay, what's been happening in your life, mate? What's been going on?
I was listening to a podcast. It's nothing that was going on. I was just quite interested in the question. I thought I'd throw it to you, actually.
Okay, yeah.
It was Brian Koppelman, who's a great writer. He does a podcast called The Moment. It's good stuff. The question was, and he did it for basketball, but I'm going to put it into football.
Okay.
This is my opinion.
All right.
So, if you had to bet your house and life savings on a player scoring a penalty of all time,
yeah.
Who's the one player?
Wow.
And I think I know who mine would be.
It'd be a German.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be a German because they're just very good at it. And I can't remember his name. He used to play for... He was a midfielder. He played for Chelsea. Balak.
Okay.
I picked Balak. He was ever going to miss.
I think I picked Cantona.
Yeah, he...
Did he miss one?
Yeah, I think he missed a couple, but very late on in his United career. And I remember the first one he missed, devastatingly for him, was away at Leeds, all teams. I think we ended up drawing, or I think we might have still won even.
But this is where the question goes now.
Go on.
Would you pick the same player if it was your life? So if they miss, you're killed.
What's the point of this?
And, more importantly, would you tell him?
Wow. It's a great question, and it's a question we probably should have addressed before.
It's a really interesting thing, though. Would you tell him?
No, because it puts on totally unnecessary pressure. Of course not. No.
Really?
Yeah, because it makes it 100 times worse for the taker, surely.
Well, if he misses, I want him to know that he's got
So you're really, all you're just after is the guilt later, which you won't know about because you'll be dead.
I want to make
You won't
sure,
even be able to take satisfaction in his guilt.
So there you go, that's what I've been up to, thinking about these kind of things.
Paul and Schadenfreude, a study in psychological trauma.
So what have you been up to?
Well, I wasn't going to talk about this, but it's because it's happened this morning. It's a tale of what I can only describe as my own moral decrepitude, my judgmentalism, and just sort of a sense of disappointment myself. So basically, this morning, I'm really just talking about this on the hoof because it's just happened. There was a guy coming round to do some... I'm not DIY. I can't do a shred of DIY. I'm rubbish at it. But but drilling in particular, I'm just terrible at it.
Right.
The walls crack.
Me too.
The house falls down.
I do try.
Everybody dies.
I do try, but I'm really not very good.
I'm just not very good. And I think I needed cupboards hanging. I needed a sign hanging outside. It was just... So I just thought, I'll just get somebody. Anyway...
Listen, mate, when they need a scene doing at Emmerdale, they don't call in the carpenter. They're calling you.
Because he would embarrass me with his brilliant performance. No, I arranged to meet this guy, and it was for a Thursday. So a week before, I got a phone call saying, I'm here, where are you? And I'm like, no, it's next Thursday. We're arranged, because I'm at work now. We could only do next Thursday. Oh, right, all right, sorry, my mistake. And I said, no, my mistake. We probably just misunderstood each other. Fine.
But you said that knowing it was his mistake.
It was his mistake, yeah. Anyway. Doesn't matter. No harm, no foul. Yeah. He didn't live far away, so it was only a 10-minute journey for him. So that was fine. Cut to the actual day of the appointment
today.
And 9 o'clock comes and goes when he's supposed to be here. And bear in mind, right, so I've had... It took me 2 hours to get here to be on time for him. So really early start. You know, all that sort of stuff. And 9:20 comes round. 9:25, I thought, I'm just going to ring him. Just check where he is. Ring, ring, nothing. Ring, ring, nothing. Another 5 minutes. I'm just going to ring him again. And now my patience is wearing thin.
Could have been in an accident.
Well, that's, you know, that's what you always have to bear in mind when you get frustrated. Yes, it's a valid point.
I mean, he wasn't.
No. Rang him, picks up the phone. Oh, hi, I just wondered what time you were being here. Oh, I've got another job. What? I've got another job. A woman rang last night. And I went, well, we did have an appointment for 9 o'clock. He went, yeah, well, this job's come in. I went, my patience is what I can describe as thready.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm kind of like trying to seal my patience, but actually my patience is immediately all gone. And I went, no, that is, and he went, well, this woman, she was stuck. And I thought, what does that mean? And then I spoke to somebody and they said, well, it might be an old lady who's struggling. I thought, yeah, fair enough. Is that, I guess that does, yes, I get that. I get it might be something like that. Anyway, 10 minutes later, he turns up. And he turns up with the personality of the nicest man in the world.
Were you ready to like give him
help? I was, yeah. And he was the nicest man in the world. He told me his life story, but in the best way, because he's had a fascinating life doing all sorts of different things. He was brilliant at his job. He did it really quickly with no fuss. He was cheap.
Brilliant.
And I just, all I wanted to do all the way through was go, sorry. Because all it did was, the whole thing just illustrated to me was don't be a prat. Be more patient.
Yeah, but
I mean, he was late.
It's just, well, he could have
just generally in life, just be more patient.
But he could have just let you know as well.
He could have done. But his personality was so lovely.
The question we all are wondering: how did the woman get stuck?
He didn't tell me. But whatever it was, it took him 5 minutes because literally he was going to her house, and then 10 minutes later he got to mine.
She was stuck in a loo.
She was stuck in a lift. Anyway, let's have another song. Oh, this is my choice. Now, the Mutators, they had that smash hit number one. Quite popular, but they've now gone into like real thrash punk, which is a real right turn for them. So this is the Mutators, and Theresa May keeps meat in the bread pan.
Because you laughed when you gave us that song title, I thought it was Theresa May keeps meeting the bread tin. Like, every time she goes around the corner, she's meeting a bread tin. It must be driving her mad. You're like, there's a bread tin again. No, nice to meet you.
I mean, Theresa May keeps meeting the bread bin isn't something that seems that far-fetched, weirdly.
No, I don't think so.
Do you know what I mean?
Weirdly, the bread bin's in the fridge. So it's okay.
I like to think of it as a heart. She's just got a heart wrapped in tissue paper in the bread bin. Let's not go there. Let's not go political, mate.
Right, I've got some inventions. Mate.
Inventions and pensions, it's tension. In my hair extensions, it's Paul's invention. Right, go. This is part of the show. You never let me explain. We've got new listeners every week. It's hordes of people. So, this is
long gone by now.
Paul's going to give me three inventions, one of which he's made up, and I've got to guess which one it is.
So it's going to be two sets of three. I'll do three now.
We'll have a song. We'll have a
not song, and then do another three.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it is rubbish assassination attempts.
Brilliant. Okay? Already brilliant.
So two of these are real ones made up.
Okay, great.
Giuseppe Marco Fieschi.
Yeah.
Wanted King Louis Philippe of France dead.
Yeah.
Okay? But he knew he'd only get one shot.
Okay.
So what he wanted to do was, he didn't want to miss.
Yeah, sure, it would be a drawback.
And what better way of not missing than rather just having one gun, have 20.
Smart. Okay. He's a smart man.
So he made a machine gun that consisted of 20 shotguns in a circle.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
With one trigger mechanism.
Okay. Wow, okay, yeah.
And so he knew these 20-barreled death-o-matic, as he was...
death-o-matic?
Nobody was calling it that, but, you know.
Did you just add that?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Makes me think you made it up.
So the best thing was, when it came to it... by the way, this is 1835.
Right.
Okay, just letting you know.
Were there guns then?
Yes.
Okay.
But he did miss his intended target.
With his 20
shotguns. But Louis and his children were only grazed, but he did manage to hit a very large number of people. Just not the king.
Just not the Yeah. It's almost like he aimed straight at him, and the guns were so far apart from each other they just went around him. I like the image of the guy just stood there, and around him, literally a perfect circle of bullet holes.
Leaving the king to sentence him to guillotine.
Brilliant. What happened. Unlucky.
Okay. Over the course of his life, Hitler was a target of no less than 42 assassination attempts.
Mm.
So in 1939, 1938, which is obviously before the war, could have saved everybody a lot of trouble.
Yeah, go on.
George Iser, George Elser.
George Harrison?
No, George Elser.
Right.
Started a plan. It's funny you say George Harrison.
Go on.
That's the next one. But anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
That's mad. Really? That was a joke.
Well, the Beatles.
Okay, go on.
George Elser started planning an assassination attempt, okay?
Of Hitler, yeah, of Hitler. Okay, yeah.
And he knew
it's
that
very
Hitler,
hard to blame him. Yeah, go on.
He knew that Hitler visited the same pub in Munich every year. The Burger Bacalakel.
Right, you've got to try harder. That was pathetic.
Okay, I'll try. Burger Bacalakel.
No, what's wrong with you?
On November the 8th...
Wait a minute, what was that? The Burger Bacalakel.
Shush.
That's a rubbish effort.
You do it.
Let me have a look at it, the word. Burger Bacalakel.
It's not easy, was it?
It is.
Okay. And he visited on the November the 8th and 9th, my birthday, weirdly, to celebrate the anniversary of the Nazi putsch of 1923.
Okay.
So what he wanted to do was he would put, over the course of a year, he stole explosives from a factory. Then every night for 3 months, he'd eat at the diner in the Burger, hide in a cupboard until the staff left.
Yeah.
Afterwards, when they'd gone, he hollowed out a pillar and then in leaving the morning, before the first Christmas had come. When he was ready...
Why did he holler out a pillar?
It was a pillar next to the table where Hitler...
Oh, a pillar, like a cement pillar thing.
Not a
stone pillar. Right, yeah. Got it, yeah.
Not a bed pillar.
Well, it's your funny accent. Go on.
Put the bombs in the pillar.
Yeah.
Remote
detonation?
We never got to that point, so right. We don't need to answer it.
Okay.
Because Hitler cancelled his annual trip.
God damn it, Hitler.
He was busy going to war, apparently. So it failed. Anyway, he tried to leave the country, but he was detained on the grounds of being suspicious. In the days when you could just detain people for being suspicious.
The Nazis loved all that.
And the bomb that he left at the pub finally exploded. He was carrying a postcard of the pub with him at the time, and that's how he was caught.
Wow.
He took a postcard of the pub.
Do you know what I like the idea of him being just slightly camp as well? It's like, I didn't do nothing.
Oh, he's back.
What do you mean? I don't... Hitler's oh no, I would never. The few, oh no, it's fine. This postcard's a coincidence. I don't know where he's from.
It's a callback. We've had him before. I can't remember what his name was, but it was Camp Somebody, wasn't it? Anyway, lastly, the Beatles.
Yes.
Not everybody was a fan of the Beatles. And if Tony Curry had his way, there'd never have been a massive hit because...
Tony Curry, the Leeds footballer? Right, go
don't
on.
Think so.
No.
Well, I can't, no, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
Go on.
Okay, he hated them so much that when they came back from Germany, before they became massive, he tried to kill Ringo Starr.
What?
He just hated them. He hated them all, but Ringo Starr was always drinking in the city, so he thought, I can kill him and I'll be famous for getting rid of Ringo Starr. Okay? The idea being that he would run him down outside the pub. When he
came out. No, horrible, right?
But the car wouldn't start.
No.
Ringo Starr's such a nice bloke that he came over and said, I'll give you a push, and he jump-started him and off he went.
But how do we know...
And then at that point... Yeah. Well, he just told that story. He said he had intended to do it, but from that point, he always just thought, well, Ringo Starr's really lovely.
So a man... You're expecting me to believe that a man... I was going to kill a guy, but he was actually all right, so I didn't.
Yeah.
Rubbish, you made that one up. That's the answer. You made up the Beatles.
As simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course!
There was a bit more, but I got bored.
Oh! Well, the audience didn't. We were all gripped. Let's have another song before your next one.
Yes, and this is...
Oh, no. Slightly controversial, aren't they, this band?
They are a little bit. They got into him by... You know Al?
Yeah, your friend Al.
Yeah, my friend Al, who does the artwork for the podcast.
Yes,
Well, his daughter, lovely Robin Holloway, she got me into them. And this is a True Dat Fo Show by the Hardy Boys Collective.
Controversial. Some of the bad language in that was really offensive. I mean, the effing and jeffing in that. I mean, every line. But we thought we'd play it anyway because it feels homely.
True Dat Fo Show.
Yeah. Okay. Three more inventions from tiny little Paulo with his little brain panel, shrunken and small.
Brain panel, shrunken and small.
Go on.
Okay. Chinese leader Qi Shi Huang.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
It's like I'm there.
Okay. Lots of people have tried to kill him. And he He issued orders to hunt down all known accomplices of those of the assassins, right?
Right.
One of which was Zhao Jinlai, who was forced to change his name and go underground, and he got a job in a wine shop, and he took up the loot.
What?
Okay. And it turned out, this is while he was in hiding. Yeah. He's really good at it. He actually was really good at playing the loot.
Okay. Okay. Right.
So good, in fact.
No.
The word spread, and... to Emperor Huang, who said, I wanted to hear him. I want to hear this
music. So the guy who was tried to kill him,
yeah,
went into hiding,
yeah,
took up the loot, yeah, became so good at it, the Emperor heard he was great and wanted him to hear it. Yeah. This doesn't sound very likely.
So he thought, what I'll do is I'll go and play,
yeah,
but I'll also carry out the assassination that I always...
He's still going to assassinate him.
He's going to do it. So he takes...
You've got to want, one thing you've got to admire about him. He's absolutely steadfast in his belief system, isn't he? I will still kill him. After a few nice tunes.
And he tried to kill him with a...
kindness?
A very heavy piece of lead in the instrument to give it more weight and swing.
He's going
to
kill him with the loot?
He's going to kill him
right,
with the loot.
That's the one you made up.
Okay.
Next.
By the estimate of Castro's bodyguard, he survived more than 600 attempts.
Wow!
Right, that means that somebody tried to kill Fidel Castro about once a month, every month, for the past 53 years.
All Americans?
Who can say?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure there were others as well.
Yeah, they don't like him, though.
His brother, probably.
Yeah.
So when am I going to be leader?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, one of these rumours, if true, was a CIA-trained assassin who who tried to poison Castro with a pair of sunglasses. So the very end of the arms had been sharpened to a very fine, unnoticeable point so that when the glasses were put on, the wearer would get a very tiny scratch, and the plan was to swap these sunglasses with Castro's own on the morning and put a very fatal poison at the end of it. Anyway, unfortunately, the assassin got traces of his own fingers, and he died before...
That sounds like a 60s plan for some reason. Do you know what I mean? It sounds like a 60s, mad 60s plan.
In the first century AD Rome... in first century AD, Rome was caught in a...
Well done.
You're very welcome. I think I should take over QI.
I think you should be reading novels.
Okay, so Nero was on the throne.
Yeah.
But he hated his mum. I'm just going to sum it down. He hated his mum, and he tried to kill her, right? And he tried to kill her with some quite interesting ways, being that he needed it to look like an accident, right? So he rigged his mother's bed so that when she lay down, the weight would activate a mechanism. Bear in mind, this is first century AD. And it would trigger a mechanism, and stones would fall onto the bed, crushing her to death.
Wow.
Okay? So it would look like the ceiling had collapsed, and it was just a terrible accident.
You've got to admire his invention.
Do you know what you shouldn't admire?
No.
His lack of forethought.
Why?
Because everybody knows that the slaves test your bed first.
Oh, no, not slavey. Yeah.
But guess what? He didn't want to give up.
Oh, no, so that's horrible.
He invited his mother onto a boat to celebrate the Festival of Minerva.
Okay, yeah. I always do that as well.
Partway through the cruise, a mechanism was triggered that made the ceiling collapse.
Ah!
Try it again!
Wow.
But when this failed to kill her, and it sank the boat, he finally sent three men to just stab her. And it worked.
But that was one of my initial questions. Like, if you're Nero, you just kill people. You get away with it.
It's his mum, isn't it? I guess he didn't want his dad to think badly of him.
I suppose he's thinking, well, if it's not my direct hand, I can somehow morally justify. Yeah. What am I talking about?
So
that's real, I think, because there was... I don't think you would have come up with a Festival of Minerva. It just feels...
It's one of my favourite publishers.
Go on. Okay. That was a good pitch to get your book published. Go on.
So, Chinese leader Zhao Jinlai.
Yeah, that's the one you made up. That's the one you made up. The lead
Castro
loot. The lead loot.
Nero.
Lead loot.
No.
Oh, no! That's a mad story.
I missed out the fact that that actually he did play for him, and the emperor realised that it was him before the assassination attempt. And but he liked him so much that all he did was blind him and said, "There you go. That's for trying to kill me.
Yeah.
But carry on playing your lute." And so it was the second time that he played for lute.
That's mad.
So he tried to kill him whilst being blind.
Wow.
I mean, that would have sounded like I really made it up.
Wow. Okay. So I'm left
Castro
with...
or Nero?
I'm going to... Oh, you see.
Both very good coffee establishments.
I think it must be Castro. It's got to be Castro. The sharpened sunglasses. Yes, oh, I kind of wanted that to be real as well. Very good. Let's have another song. Oh, yeah. So this is... I'm just going to introduce it because I think it speaks for itself. This is The Flatulent Dare by DJ Filthy Cop.
Roger, 0G, and I feel fine.
Uno, dos, tres.
Thanks there, DJ Filthy Cop, and thanks for coming and playing it live.
Bye!
See you later, guys!
Oh, they said goodbye to me.
No, he was talking to me, he called me guys.
You, did he call me guys? You and your alter ego.
Hey, guys!
I misread that. When I first saw it, I thought it was DJ Filthy Cop. I thought it was a guy from Yorkshire.
Yeah, typical idiot. Like, oh, listen! Oh, hey! Hey, people! Hey, little people!
I bet you want to get in touch with us.
Oh, I bet you're excited about this. You can contact us directly. Not through the sense of touch. That would be awful. Through the sense of email and Twitter. Yeah. I'm at Mark Charnock on Twitter.
I'm at Paul Coates _.
A sort of lesser hashtag, really, isn't it? Yeah. You can get in touch with us via email at leftofleftfield@gmail.com.
Yeah. Or get in touch with us through the station by breaking into the broken window.
And just leave us a paper message under a stone on the window.
Yeah.
So,
so let's have another song.
Okay. Oh, this is one of yours, Paul.
This is one of my made-up ones. And I'll... This is it's a fun song, this one. Yeah. It's by Waist High Tide, and it's Sharpness Tickles.
It's nice, this. It takes me back.
Oh, Waist High Tide.
Yeah.
If that's Blackpool...
What?
Well, that's a total throwback to my holidays. You know, when you're this
I used to go to Blackpool and St Anne's every year.
It's not about Blackpool. It's about the Waist High Tide. It's about trying to get it above your bits.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
It's so cold.
Yeah, freezing. Absolutely so freezing.
So by the time you get to Waist High Tide, it's like, oh.
I feel like those times are sort of like they've been let down by lack of fight. I loved going there when I was a kid.
Oh,
love it. I've not been for a long time, but I still
go to Blackpool.
I've got such a fondness for Blackpool and St Anne's.
And they're trying really hard to turn it around.
Yeah.
It did get into a bit of a stag thing.
I think that's still an issue.
It's still an issue, but they're doing lots. The comedy carpet and
Hats off to that. Them towns are proper good holiday towns, aren't they? They're great. Anyway, so a bit of a sort of change of pace now. Usually at this point, this is a bit of the show that called Mid-LOL, which we can sort of do anything here, a silly game.
Yeah.
But I just thought, with everything that's going on in the world, and there's a lot going on in the world, and as we record, it might have all changed again, because we are mid-Brexit, hopefully we're at the end of Trump, but we're sort of mid-Trump, possibly, you know. That sounds wrong. We're mid-Donald Trump.
It's interesting that you bring Brexit in, because I know what you're about to say. You give some stats in a minute. Astonishing, really. And it's just this government, because of Brexit and also because of their
austerity
and all that, are not doing enough about this. About this kind of stuff. Well,
it's almost like everything's Brexit now. Anyway, I'm just going to basically go through, I think, are astonishing stats that we should be aware of and bear in mind. We're sort of powerless, but we should know this stuff. It's happening now.
We should know it so that we can't cover our ears to it.
Right, here, let me... This is the amount of people living in poverty, as defined by, you know, major world global bodies, all that sort of stuff. So poverty, as defined by, officially defined in this country, 14 million people.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
That, and I think that's, personally, that's got to be to do with austerity. That's shot up. 4 million of them are kids. 4 million.
Jesus.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there is enough money for that not to be a thing.
Absolutely.
There is, absolutely. There was one MP, I won't name the party, but I'm sure you can guess. They interviewed him and he said, do you know what he said about all the people living homeless and stuff like that? He said, you never have to go cold if you've got a good tent and a sleeping bag.
He actually said
heartless. Absolutely heartless. Anyway... That's what we're dealing with.
I mean, Trump when he shut down the government, and people missing not one wage packet a month, but the second wage packet, still was saying, people find a way. They find a way. That's a man who's never had to find a way in his life.
I know. How many orphans do you think there are in the world? I'll give you a little, just for fun, in this dark time, what just to the nearest million, how many orphans do you think there are?
And this is like... including people who've lost their parents through wars and things like that. Yeah. Oh my god. To the million.
Mm.
T- 210. God, that's...
210 million.
That's just... That's,
I know. And it goes on. It goes on. How many kids every day die from poverty in the world? A day, right? I'll just tell you, since so time. Yeah. 22,000 children a day die because of poverty. And on this circle that we call Earth, it's just... Do you know how much, and with that in mind,
yeah.
Do you know how much food rots uneaten? How many kilos of food rot uneaten every day?
I mean, this kind of stuff.
30 to 59 kilos a day, you know.
Just get it, just like, yeah. Get it to the people.
What percentage of the world's population lives on less than the equivalent of less than 10 quid a day? What percentage of the world's population?
The world's population.
Yeah.
30%?
80.
I mean, so that was a laugh because it was a slap of astonishment. It's astonishing.
80% of the people live on less than 10 quid a day on this earth. We've got to address it. We've got to address the inequality now. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
You know, and you'll get people on Twitter going, no, you've got to fight for what you want. You've got to... people are not given. There's not an even starting point.
No, absolutely not.
Cargo ships and cruise liners dump... Do you know how much... This is a more of an ecological one. They dump... £14 billion of garbage into the and that's just cargo ships and cruise ships dumping just crap into the ocean every day. You know, final one. This is more of a silly one, really. But in its own way, I think this sums up just the mentality of you know our species yes. right now. NASA, bizarrely, did a study, right, to find they basically they put animals. Stuffed animals,
yeah,
on the side of the road, right, on big sort of big highways in yeah. America.
And realistic,
yeah, very realistic. Yeah, so yeah. They looked to all intents and purposes real. Out of every 1,000 drivers, this is in the States, 60 of them doesn't seem that high, but it is high when you find them. Went out of their way to kill the animal. If that doesn't sum everything up, I don't know what it does.
And do you know what the thing is? That probably isn't. I imagine nobody's looking. It's the thing. That's the thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody's looking. It's that mentality of thinking nobody's looking. I can just not like.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the car. There's nobody.
Around. What it is in the psychology of someone who does that power? I guess.
I don't know.
It's quite psychopathic,
yeah.
isn't it? It's,
you know, it really is, yeah. And it sounds like there's a lot of those around.
Yep. Right, let's have another song just to get us off this. This is, it doesn't seem appropriate to make a joke now, but we've done loads of no-song jokes, and here's another one. This is Paint Me Healthy by Dennis Rees-Mogg. Not related. Right.
Swell a will.
Biggie Bong.
Swell a will.
Bongy Bing.
Mark, what do you love? I can go first, actually, if you want.
Yeah, because I've just done a lot of talking. Yeah. You do yours first. What, this is just part of the show. We just talk about culture stuff we like. Swell a will.
Biggie Bong.
Swell a will.
Bongy Bing.
Polly, what you liking now, little fellow?
Two things I just saw.
Which is part of the show we like, where we talk about stuff we like, and you just have to listen. Sit there and take it. Go on.
Dad describes the whole show.
Go on.
I want a t-shirt that says left of left field. You just gotta sit there and take it. That's an aggressive. Yeah. Anyway, just two things I saw. I saw them in one night. I had a rare night where everybody was out of the house, because usually when they're in the house they get the big TV
and watch it. Brilliant.
Because we don't always watch the same thing.
No, sure.
You know. So I had the house to myself. Yes. I had a nice bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And I watched two things one that I've been wanting to see for ages. And then the other one was a total antidote. Not that it needed it. It's just the first one was Roma. I'm
still going to watch this.
Yeah, the Alfonso
Cuarón.
Yeah. It's amazing. And it's
so we should explain. Yeah. This is a black and white film that's been gone to Netflix. It was at the cinema.
Yeah.
And it's Cuarón is a very big Hollywood director now. He's a Mexican.
He did my favourite of the Harry Potter.
He did
Potters,
Gravity,
didn't he?
He did the best of the Harry Potters, which of course is Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, yeah.
He did Gravity, which was an amazing technical achievement. So I think he wrote The Sun, actually.
You know, Netflix are chucking a lot of money and they wanted Oscar contenders. Yeah. And so they gave this a release. It's an Oscar financed film and it is beautiful. It's slow, as you would expect. It's basically a life, a year in the life of a middle class family's maid, who is called Cleo, and the family. And I think it was Alfonso. I think it was his family. So it's slightly autobiographical.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
Is it set in Mexico?
Yes, it is. It's set in Mexico City in the early 70s. Yep. It looks at the riots, the political upheavals, what it's like to be middle class, what it's like to be poor, you go into the slums. But it does it in such a way that it's not like one of the biggest riots of the time we view from a furniture shop where they've gone to buy the maid something, which I won't spoil. And so you feel very tangential to a lot of the stuff that's happening. It's got a wonderful sense of humour. It's very, you don't expect it to have it. It's very funny in places. And it's just a great story. You expect the mother of the family, who is a bit high strung at times and is going through marital difficulties, you expect her to be a particular way. And she just couldn't be more supportive. And it's just these two amazing women, the maid and the mother of the family. It's beautiful.
It reminds me of what you described. Reminds me of a film that I did on the radio show about a year or so ago, called a Brazilian film called The Second Mother. I don't even remember, but that was about a Brazilian maid. She was like the mother to the family with absent parents. It was about class.
It is about class. It's just, it's also, I think it's about humanity. And I think it's about, it's wonderful. It's slow. And I was talking to somebody.
There's nothing wrong with that.
For my taste, it was slow because I'm not a massive slow fan.
Yeah, there is a thing called slow cinema. It's a movement.
But what I realised about 50 minutes in is I needed that 50 minutes to really care for the rest of the film. And I really did care.
Yeah.
So then after that, I just wanted something a bit lighter.
Yeah, sure.
A bit funnier.
So this is just straight after.
Yeah, straight after.
Go on.
And it was. It's called Fire. And
I can't wait to see this.
It's FYI
with a Y,
and it's an exclusive behind the scenes look at the Fire Music Festival, which was a guy called Billy McFarland. Is it Ja Rule?
Yes, it is.
It's just brilliant. It's brilliant in so many ways. It's a real look at YouTube generation, millennials. Mm. It's a look at that aspirational thing. It's a look at,
because it was a disaster, right, on every level.
It was unbelievable. It was a con. It was an outright con.
Yeah,
you realise at one point what they're...
Yeah.
And there's a wonderful line. There's a great character called David.
David. That sounds like a character out of... what's that show called? That was it was a satire. It was a Chris Morris satire.
Oh yeah, Nathan Barley.
It sounds like a character out of Nathan Barley.
It does. And he looks like it. He comes across as a really nice bloke.
Yeah, yeah.
But every time I saw his name come up, David.
How do you spell
The name is David with a M at the beginning of David. David.
Okay, alright. Interesting.
Anyway, but there's just a wonderful line that said, and it was actually David who said it, what we've done here, this is fraud. And I think it's Ja Rule who says, no, it's not fraud. At worst, it's false advertising. Which is fraud.
Hello. Oh, Ja.
But it's just fantastic. You watch it through your fingers because you just know what's coming, and the best thing is you see it.
Wow!
You see the footage of it of the actual festival of everything that goes on. It's great.
Yeah.
So those two things are mine.
Well,
so let's have a bit of a break and then we'll come back for yours.
Okay. Yeah. Let's have another song.
We have another song, and this is one of mine. Oh, it's the Sell By Dates. We had them. They've come and gone. I'm really into this album.
Yeah, it's a great album. Maybe you should download it. Only download it, interestingly,
By not downloading it.
Yeah.
If you don't download it,
you can only download it right into your eye.
But once you see that it's there, it's gone again.
Yeah.
It's really weird, but it's there when you're not looking.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is Whatevs, Grandpa. You're dead anyway.
Oh.
Quickly, Swellowell.
Bing bong.
Swellowell.
Bing bong.
Mark, what do you love?
Well, it's another Netflix thing. I was going to do a film, actually, but I might save that till next time because you just did a couple of films. Well, no, you did. Mine's a documentary on Netflix. It's a very controversial one. It's the Ted Bundy tapes.
Right, yeah, you told me about this.
Right, no, so it's obviously a difficult subject. For those who don't know, just very quickly fill in, Ted Bundy was a notorious, appalling serial killer in mid-70s America.
It's amazing because I'm doing a few things at the moment, but how... hip it was to be a serial killer.
Well, somebody, I'm listening to a podcast at the minute.
In the 70s, it was just like
I'm listening to the Monster podcast at the minute about the Zodiac.
Yeah.
And somebody said that it was, for want of a better phrase, this was the golden age of serial killers. Yeah,
you know, anyway,
No.
And Ted Bundy was the child.
And the other famous one who I've read up about since was Macy. Good Lord above. The killer clown. It's very disturbing. Yeah. Anyway, Bundy, what they found, they've got this access. Bundy killed, I think it was at least 36 young women.
It was astonishing.
Through a reign of terror through the 70s.
By being good looking.
Very handsome, very charismatic.
Pretending he needed help. He had
hyper intelligent.
Yeah, he had his arm in a sling.
Yeah, yeah.
And
the extraordinary thing about his story is, he escaped from jail twice.
I know.
It's just amazing. The story is extraordinary. So, they've got access to these hours and hours of several interviews he did over several years of just that haven't been analysed and released before, to my knowledge. So the whole documentary is framed around this audio. And the reviews of it, right, quite rightly, have said this is very disturbing subject matter and it's questionable whether they should have released it. But the review I read, I think it was in The Guardian, she effectively implied that he would have loved this. He would have loved the attention.
And I understand that.
I do too.
But
her argument is that because we're just hearing his voice, what he's doing is mythologising himself. It's like, I totally disagree.
Yeah.
Because we know, right, it becomes almost an existential argument, but because we know that Bundy was caught and executed and all that, and because it's intercut... So what you get is him mythologising himself, and then you get cut with newsreel footage and documentary of what actually was happening, which completely undermines what he was saying. It makes a total farce of everything he says. I think it justifies itself as a piece of documentary.
I suppose the concern, I have watched the first episode, that's all.
Yeah.
And I found the first episode a bit, I'm not quite sure, but then at the end, at the end of the first episode, he started doing this romanticisation of what he'd done.
Yeah.
And again, so I get what you're saying. But my worry, and I will watch Other Ones to See, is that thing of to somebody who's like him, just latching on to what he's saying.
Yeah. I just don't think it glorifies him. Okay. I just don't think it does. I think it's unfair on the documentary. I think he takes more responsibility than that. I mean, just as a narrative, it's absolutely jaw dropping. But I think just as a part of, just as a sort of historical document, it's an extraordinary thing. And it is bizarre how easily we can be taken in by these people, and how easily they just fit into those gaps in society. I was listening to a thing about psychopaths. They're very charming. Yeah. They're very good at not appearing to be psychopathic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's terrifying. I think it should be an 18, even though there's no gory material in it.
Yeah.
Just the information itself, the way he tries to get a detective to describe one of his own murders to him in the court because he represented himself. It's very disturbing. I'm not denying that, but it is genuinely fascinating.
Yeah.
I say it with a... I think it should be an 18, but I think it bears watching.
It's cool. Well, I'm going to carry on. And we'll have another chat about it.
Yeah, yeah. If anybody watches this, write in and tell us what you think. I'd like to know. I could be wrong.
Yeah, we've tried to get touch with this. People should start writing in a bit more and just telling us stuff.
Let us know what you think of our stuff. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah. We'll play you out with a... Oh, yeah, this is a band. They're not together anymore, unfortunately, because they were a 70s band.
Yeah.
But thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And this will be... You'll recognise it straight when it comes out. This is the Trouser Substitutes, and their classic... Disappointing toilet visit.